Go to the scripture and prayer first. Father, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, Lord, as this word goes forth, Father, I pray that I will decrease and your word will increase. I pray that someone tonight will receive a rhema word, Father, and ask, what must I do to be saved? I pray for those tonight, dear Lord Jesus, to receive this word, Lord, and as they learn tonight, Lord, to take this word, Father, out into the community, into the world, Lord, and teach someone the gospel of Christ. This is my prayer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the circumstances of life is more than you can bear, it may be that pride is standing in the way. If the circumstances, situations, trials, temptations, pride is more than you can bear, it may be that pride is standing in the way. Definition of pride: a feeling or a deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. Now notice that, from one's own achievements. God is getting no glory. God is not getting any honor from the achievements that he personally gave you, your talents. Allow me to say it this way. Individuals, people, non-believers or believers in Christ who shift ultimate confidence from God to themselves. You have shifted ultimate confidence from God, the one who created you, the one who knows all about you, to your selfish self. This begins the pathway of destruction. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 through 19 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Haughty. To be arrogant, to have a big attitude, and to look down on others. Right away, I think about the father of lies, Satan himself. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, he was known as Lucifer, the morning star, and when God cast him out of heaven, he became Satan. Now here it was, Lucifer was dwelling in heaven with God. He's seen the glory of God. But he chose to make a bad decision, to follow pride. Now here we are in Romans chapter 1. We see the handiworks of God. The Bible says we see that very clearly. The trees, the clouds, the water, this earth. So are we exempt from pride? If Satan can fall into the temptation of pride, I know that we are not exempt from pride. So there is a process that must happen in order to conquer this deep-rooted sin, pride, a destruction, a spirit before tumbling. So this process is something that takes not a day. For some who are special, it may take an hour if you're special. But we're not exempt from being special. See, this is an ongoing process. The word of God, Christianity. When you make a decision to follow Christ, it is ongoing. Dr. Ed Cole said to us in Baltimore, Maryland, when I was living there, and I love this, change isn't change until you have made the decision to change. Change. There's no change until you have made the decision to change. I think about Peter. When Peter was following Christ as a disciple before he became the apostle, starting establishing churches around Asia Minor, Peter struggled. And I tell individuals, it's okay to struggle. We're not exempt from struggling. Peter was looking for Jesus to get them out of Roman bondage. He struggled with that. Not only that, when Christ went to the cross of Calvary and they laid him in the tomb, what did Peter and the other disciples do? They went back to their old way of living. Peter went back fishing. He struggled because he couldn't deal with the change. No longer was the Lord here. What do we do? He's gone. Change isn't change until we make the decision to change. Then Peter, when he became an apostle, in the book of Galatians, it talks about in chapter 1 that James, Paul, and Peter were sitting down amongst the Gentiles. Then certain Jews came in. And the Bible said that Peter distanced himself from the Gentiles. Peter couldn't deal with change. Now, even though the Lord gave Peter the vision that it was okay for the Gentiles to receive the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, Peter still struggled with that because he had a problem dealing with change. Allow me to illustrate this. During the process of change, there is something that I call spiritual surgery that takes place. Spiritual surgery. This illustration says, let's say, for instance, you want to remodel your kitchen. This is an example. You want to have your kitchen to be remodeled. You must first hire an architect. The architect designs the kitchen. You have new cabinets. You have new flooring. You have a brand new stove and refrigeration and walls and all these extra activity, extra things that happens that you decide that you want to have in your kitchen. Secondly, the architect hires the demolition team. There's change that begins to take place. No longer do you have a kitchen. You have dust flying throughout the air. You have a dirty floor. Not only that, there's something called inconvenience because you don't have a kitchen. And it begins to take a toll on you. But you want a remodeled kitchen. But are you willing to go through the process of change? In this inconvenience, you no longer are able to cook in your kitchen. You're going out every night. No longer are you able to go to the refrigerator in the summertime to get a cold glass of water. Because on this pathway of going to the fridge that's no longer there, you have a dust, wood, and everything that's in your way. And for those who are people who like to be clean, you just can't stand all this rubbish all in your kitchen, in your house. But in order to create the newly remodeled kitchen, the previous kitchen must be dismantled. And that's how it is in our lives. Change isn't change until we have made the decision to change. In order to become a new person in Christ, the old must be passed away as newborn babes and believers in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We must understand that God wants to perform surgery within us. A radical surgery. A total removal of sin. A self-dominating sin, which hinders us from total surrender to the Lord. Total surrender to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 says, God dwells only with believers. Get this now. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. God dwells only with believers who are low in spirit, humble, and contrite, remorseful in heart. That's who God dwells with. In 1997, I thought I came to the Lord. I thought I was a believer in Christ. And I thought that for 11 years until 2009. I had no remorse when I thought I came into the Lord. It was not about surrendering. It was about stuff, materialistic things. It was about a show. Can I get these things that I've lost because of the stupidity and the foolishness that I created in my life? There was no remorse there. There was no humbleness there. So this radical surgery can only happen when you receive the Holy Spirit. You can't get around it. You can't compromise with it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you will not have change. You can read your Bible. You can go to church. You can pray. And you can do good deeds. And those are expected for people who are in the Lord or say they are in the Lord. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you have nothing. There's no compromising with that. So then the transformation process begins. Well, Brother Melvin, how does this transformation process begin? You must first, number one, humble yourself. Humble yourself unto the Lord. To be meek. To be respectful. Caring. And to be low in spirit. Secondly, surrendering your will to God. Surrendering your will to God. When I became a Christian in 2009, in October the 2nd, 2008, October the 2nd, that was one of my questions. How do I surrender what I think is right for me to God? Brother Pearsall, bless his heart, he said, brother, just be a Christian. That's all you have to do. Just be a Christian, and God will show you and teach you through the word how to surrender your will to him. Thirdly, renewing the mind. You have to renew your mind. Paul says it very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Having the faith See, there's a responsibility that we who choose Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a responsibility to renew our mind. Oh, what is that responsibility? Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? You have to study his word. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Are we fellowshipping? See, this is the process. Paul even says it also in Philippians. He says, think on these things which are good, which are lovely, which are honest, and which are pure in heart. Putting yourself in the situation to understand faith. Now, there is an enemy who doesn't want you to humble yourself. There is an enemy who doesn't want you to surrender your will to God. There is an enemy who does not want you to renew your mind. And his mission is to have you stumble throughout life. That's his mission, Satan, which leads to destroying your soul. When we make a decision, now see, I'm talking to the believers tonight. I'm speaking to everyone, but I'm talking to believers because it's so easy for this pride, this deep-rooted sin to creep in when you think you got it, when you think you're special, when you think you're exempt. Oh, I've been a believer for 10 years. I don't have this. Well, you have it if you're saying that to yourself. I've been a believer for 20, 30 years. I don't have this. Listen, again, Lucifer, who dwelt with the Lord, pride crept in his heart. And here all we've seen is the handiworks of God. So how are we exempt from it? Pride has no discrimination. It doesn't see color. It doesn't matter if you're big or tall, short or fat. It doesn't matter. It doesn't discriminate. Its main purpose is to destroy your soul. But see, God has a plan. Woo! This is what I love about this. God has a plan. And his plan is in order to keep you from stumbling. See, that's the kind of Lord we serve. To keep you, he loves us enough to keep us from stumbling. Not only did he give us his son, Jesus, but he gave us the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. For instruction in righteousness. You don't want to stumble? Instruction in righteousness. So what is that instruction, Brother Melvin? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Peter, the apostle, is writing to believers who are struggling with these false teachers who had crept in the church, the congregation. And they're teaching that you must add certain things to be a believer. And Peter's writing this letter to these Christians. Don't get caught up in your pride. Don't get caught up in this destruction. He says, I'm going to tell you what the Lord says. Verse 5. Now, for this reason, also applying all diligence, he says, add to your faith. What is faith? The substance of things not seen, things that are hoped for in the Lord. He said, add to your faith. Supply moral excellence. Supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Do you see the importance of having knowledge? See, because no one can come to you and tell you anything about the Lord, because you must and you know the knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance, to be patient. Now, I know that's a hard thing for us because we live in a microwave society. I want it quick, fast, and in a hurry. You see a lot of that when you're driving. We want it our way, and we want it now. But see, this is the key, the renewing of the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. See, we want to think like God. What did God say? How should I conduct myself the way God tells me to conduct myself as a believer? And in perseverance, godliness, the quality of being a Christian. You want to know the quality of being a Christian. What does it take for me to be a Christian? And in that lifestyle, how do I conduct myself? How do I think? How do I speak? How do I perform? My character, the quality of being a Christian. And in godliness, brotherly kindness. You must have love. You can't get around it. I think it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 speaks to that. How can we say we hate our brother who we see, and we love God who we have not seen? I love God. I love the Lord. But I'm despising my brother or sister. And in brotherly kindness, love, charity. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you're on solid ground. You're not shaking because you're showing some fruit. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. He's talking to believers now. For those who made the choice to follow Christ. He says, if you're not practicing these qualities, it's so easy for you to forget the purification from your former sins. You can go right back to having that pride. I got it all together now. God, I don't need you. I call you when I need you. I pray when I need you. I come to church when I need you. I read when I need you. It's so easy. And I'm speaking, I can speak on myself. I can't speak for no one else. But I'm going to speak on myself. Those are things that I did. Oops. And those are things that at times, to be honest with you, I do. Oh, I don't feel like going to service today. Oh, I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like studying today. Oh, I don't really feel like being bothered. It's so easy for the pride to creep up and us to forget, or for me to forget, what Jesus has done for me. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, practice what, Brother Melvin? Practice moral excellence, practice knowledge, practice self-control, practice perseverance, practice godliness, practice brotherly kindness, and practice love. For if these things that you practice be within you, you will never stumble. That's Bible. That's not me. You want to overcome sin? Practice the qualities that God has for us. Because this is a journey. This is not something that you gravitate to. Oh, I got it now. I'm okay. Oh, no. This is a journey. And we all in this together. We all encourage together. We all pray for one another together. We all study together. We all should be there for each other. But before the process of learning these qualities begin, you must first understand what God has for you to do. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And these devout Jews heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And they asked Peter, who gave the message that day, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there one tonight who doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, who chooses to come forth because they know they have some deep-rooted sins and they've been trying to fix it themselves, but you find yourself stumbling, going through life stumbling, and you know, well, you know now that the only way to get rid of those deep-rooted sins, to start the process, is to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Being baptized in the Lord. Is there one tonight who is a believer and you're stumbling? Again, it's okay. Because tonight, you know that if you were to come forward, that your brothers and sisters in Christ will pray for you and show you through the word of God how to get back on that golden road, that pathway of righteousness. Life is a choice. Hopefully that we make the right choice. Change isn't change until you have made the decision to change. And when you have made the decision to change, there's change. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that this message, Father, goes forth, Lord. I pray that there will be a renewing of the mind. I pray that one will be humble, Father, and surrender your will, their will, to you, Father. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.